And now a public service announcement from Carolers Against Bad Gifts.
Tis the season we could win.
La 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 la, lots of cash.
We don't want another toaster.
La 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 la, lots of cash.
Could you just give us scratch tickets?
La 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 la, lots of cash. Then we won't have to return gifts. La 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 la, lots of cash.
This season, give them what they really want. Give them holiday scratch tickets from the Texas Lottery. Must be 18 or older. Play responsibly.
Hello, I'm Heather Barnes, food and product photographer and storyteller behind the lens. Our Austin-based team is all about visual solutions. For your brand, it's essential for your product to be memorable and have stickiness. Our clients like Ghirardelli, Tiff's Treats, and Nautamu choose our photography to develop positive associations with their brand. They call our work inspiring because it moves consumers into a relationship with their company. And we can do the same for you. Learn more today at heatherbarnes.com. Focused on you, your story, and your success with memorable photography garnished with love.
Hey, welcome back to Success Made to Last. I'm Rick Tocchini. This show is presented by Heather Barnes Media, as well as Play Audio. Our very special guest today is Christine Albert, Swan Song founder, CEO, and together with a friend of hers, Austin psychotherapist Gay Logan, Swan Song co-founder, the two began informally organizing bedside concerts. And this was all about a moment when they were asked to sing for a dying friend. Swan Songs has rolled up to be a magnificent, significant organization, and we're glad to have you on today. Welcome.
Happy to be here. Thank you.
Thanks so a lot. Tell us, Christine.
So I'll just kind of be patient if one or the other of us freezes.
You got it. No problems. Christine, tell us about your own journey leading up to this momentous moment when you were singing for a dying fan.
Well, you know, I've been a professional musician my whole life since I was 19. So that's all I had ever done until I created Swan Songs. And now that's become my main focus. But in 1992, I was asked to go sing at the home of a couple who used to come out and see me every month. They were big fans. He loved my music. She loved my music. And he could no longer come out because he was dying of a brain aneurysm. So his wife, Denise, called and asked me if I would come to their house and sing for him. So I did with a couple of other musicians. And it was so striking that the room was full of colleagues and friends and family that had kind of stopped coming to see him because he could no longer speak or move. And it was awkward for them, and it's hard to know how to be around impending death. But the music lightened the mood, gave everybody something to share and to focus on. And it was an aha moment when I walked out of that. I was like, wow, there needs to be something that allows music lovers to have this opportunity here in Austin. Not everybody knows the performer, knows their phone number and can call them. So I was compelled by the how significant it felt, significant. And yes. Then later on, I was speaking with Gay Logan, my friend who's a psychotherapist. She had a friend who was dying at Christopher House, a hospice. And she asked me about organizing a benefit and getting some musicians together to support Christopher House. And I said, I would. And I said, but, you know, I really think what needs to happen is getting musicians in there to play their music, not to play music to raise money for, you know, but to actually bring that gift directly to them. And Gay said, I love this idea. You give me a list of musicians and I'll start reaching out to hospices. So we did that. I started calling musicians and she started letting the healthcare community know. And we did it informally on a volunteer basis. The musicians were not paid. And there's a nonprofit that is actually Craig Hella Johnson that has Consperari now. At the time, it was New Texas Festival. Craig supported that for a while, like helped us organize it under his nonprofit. And it was kind of lying fairly dormant for the next several years while I was busy with a lot of transitions. And then I just felt it just kept waking me up every night. And all day long, I had this ache that this thing needs to happen. But there were two critical points to me. Was one, I wanted the musicians to be compensated. And I wanted the family and facilities to not have to pay. So I was struggling with that. And I finally realized that means I have to create a nonprofit, because that's how you raise money and support your program from the community. Others help support the program so that the recipient can receive the gift. So I called Gay and said, I want to create a 501c3. And so I filed the paperwork, and Gay was a founding board member and co-founder, because we created that idea together for sure. Mm-hmm. And as a spiritual co-founder. And then Gay started another amazing nonprofit, and she moved to Boulder and Taos. And I have just sort of carried the mission ever since, and has grown slowly but surely. And partly because I was still a full-time musician, plus I was serving, and I still serve on the national board of the Recording Academy, the Grammy organization. So I was very involved with that, and I was an officer. But, you know, secretly, it was a masterclass in nonprofit management. I mean, I was learning everything I needed to know to get started and to do it right and to, you know, follow best practices and have integrity. So we've gotten to this point where now if you look at the pie of my life and the pieces, used to be mostly music, full-time professional musician, some swan songs, some Recording Academy. Now it's really mostly swan songs, some music, and still quite a bit of Recording Academy. But they all intertwine for sure. It's all kind of one mission and personal mission in life, which is to bring music and creativity into any situation and to support those that do. Mm-hmm. So now we have 4 staff members. I'm sitting in my Swan Songs office, and our requests are through the roof. We were through the roof in early 2020, first 2 months. We had just reached this maximum momentum. And then, of course, pulled the plug on that, and we shifted to virtual concerts. And we were looking at the numbers the other day, and you could see 2020 and then 2021 was even lower because there weren't a couple of powerhouse months to begin with. It was all virtual or very careful. Okay, we can. No, we can't. Yes, we can. Are you comfortable doing it? No, I'm not. Okay. But now 2022, we started really coming back, and in 2023, and now we're getting, you know, we get 1 to 2 requests every day, 7 days a week. So there's like concerts, 20 concerts at one time in the planning stage, in the scheduling phase, scheduled, taking place, or wrapping up with reporting and payment to the musicians. So it's very, very busy.
And it's very busy for all the right reasons, though, because you have hit a nerve.
Yeah. I think so. And also, Dorothy Reno, who's our director of programs, said the other day, you know, it's just going to keep happening because it's exponential, because everyone feels it when you experience the power of that mission. So you're doing more concerts and touching more people. So those people are telling other people. So the more you're engaging, the more you're exponentially expanding your outreach. So, you know, we're like, okay, time to hire somebody else too to help manage concerts. You know, we have to make sure that we can, when we answer the phone, we can respond and respond quickly. It's one of those things that, you know, sometimes psychological management is to tell yourself it's not a matter of life and death. And we can't really say that, because we get requests and they're not always imminent, but they tell us if they are. But even if they're not imminent, we've learned that people say, oh, I know that he has at least, you know, probably 3 more weeks. So we're good. And we always say, well, let's just schedule it as soon as possible. Because too many times we've listened to that and said, we'll book it for 2.5 weeks from now. And they're gone within a week. And their family is like, wow, we did not expect that. So we've learned sooner is better.
Do you realize that the people that you're touching, you're moving the people that are about to pass away, you're moving the musicians, you're moving your organization, volunteers that may come into work. It's almost like it is a mission that has long fingers to it.
Yes. Very, very well said. Early on, at that concert for John, and actually the name of that concert that I did, the first one that inspired the idea, his name was John Swan. It's spelled with 2 M's. And when Gay and I were doing this program initially, that we used the name Music Aid, and it never felt right to me. It just was a little too square around the edges for what it is.
Yes,
and
you bet.
When I just kept feeling called back to it, I was walking one day and I had the idea of the name Swan Songs. And I ran home and I looked at animal medicine cards and I researched different cultures and spiritual traditions. And the swan always, every time, represented grace and transformation from one consciousness to another. And I went, well, this is it. It still had not occurred to me that it was John and Denise Swan who inspired the idea. I was just like, and then I just had goosebumps all over. But at that concert, I could see not only how much joy it brought to John, how much comfort it brought to Denise as his caregiver, as his wife, because she felt so powerless. Sure. All she could do was like take care of his needs, his physical needs. And she didn't know really how to take care of him emotionally. And I could see that she was just so happy to be able to bring this gift to him, to have facilitated this. I know what it did to me and the two musicians with me, Paul Glass and Mitch Watkins. You know, we were really moved. And this was before the common house concert model. There's a lot of house concerts these days. People that host a house concert that's really a concert venue, you know, and they do it right and take care of the musician. It's very focused. And that was before that or when that was first starting. So it was odd to go to somebody's house and play a concert as opposed to a private party, you know. And then the friends and family, they felt so good to be able to share something with him and to see joy on his face. And we see that over and over and over, that it's as much for the family as it is for the recipient. And
indeed
they feel like they're left towards the end. They have one more positive memory instead of their last memories all being about illness or distress or grief with the impending loss. They have this sweet memory from those final weeks.
You bet. It's almost as if you're getting this final blessing of music in your life, a modern day last rites of sorts.
Yeah. It definitely feels like that, because I think what I see it do, it creates connection, I mean, among the family, but within that person, they connect with who they really are, with their essence, because the music that they've chosen, that's, to me, that's the heart of Swan Songs, is that that person chooses the music. It's not our idea of what would be comforting to them. And if it's a marching band outside of the window because it's COVID, playing UT fight songs, that's what we did during COVID, because this gentleman was a musician who had been in the UT marching band. And it just, the music connects them with their essence. And their essence is not sick. It's not dying. is not debilitated, doesn't have trouble expressing itself for themselves. It's like they're whole and it brings dignity. I feel like because they're being not only seen and heard by us responding to what they wanted and organizing this concert, but by being reminded of their wholeness. So it kind of returns some dignity.
And now a public service announcement from Carolers Against Bad Gifts.
'Tis the season we could win.
La 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 la, la lots of cash.
We don't want another toaster.
La 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 la, la lots of cash.
Could you just give us scratch tickets?
La 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 la, lots of cash. Then we won't have to return gifts. La 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 la, la lots of cash.
This season, give them what they really want. Give them holiday scratch tickets from the Texas Lottery. Must be 18 or older. Play responsibly.
I totally agree.
Take me back to 92. What was one of the songs that you remember singing to John Swann?
My grandmother is French. My mother is French Swiss. So I had a grandmother in Paris and I sing a lot of French music. And I know I sang La Vie en Rose for, that's a classic Piaf song. At the time I had, there's a song called Joie de Vivre that I had written about my grandmother. So I had kind of a different repertoire then, because since then I met my husband, Chris Gage, and then we started performing together and writing, and I have a whole other repertoire, from years later. But in those days, I know that it was that. And I had a song that I wrote called Full Moon Night that they loved. But the really profound thing is that Denise Swann was one of the first people I knew to end up in the hospital. They weren't sure it was COVID, but I'm sure it was COVID. It was April 2020. She ended up having all of the classic, pneumonia and then strokes. And she died in the hospital and we couldn't go in. So we did a phone call and I said, Denise Swann cannot die. And she goes, she's remained a good friend. I said, without a Swan Songs concert. So we called her up with a couple of her friends and her sister. And I sang La Vie en Rose. That's actually the song that I sang for her on the phone. And then a couple of days later, when they took her off life, the ventilator, she was dying alone because it was COVID and nobody could go in. It was April 2020, but her nurse was a Swan Songs volunteer and very aware of Swan Songs and figured out the connection. And she pulled up my music on an iPhone and put it next to her on her pillow at the end of her life. So she did get her Swan Songs concert a couple of times. It was very, that was a hard one for me because all along she's been to every event we've done and she's done interviews with me. And it was like she was getting to watch this seed that she planted grow. And then here we were in the first month of this profound, worldwide experience that was, rocking our world. And the first thing that happened to me is to lose Denise, remotely. That was pretty rough. But now, everything, it's the memory of Denise and John Swann. They're both on our website, so on our memorial wall. So they're together, I hope.
This whole conversation is taking me back to when my mom passed away in 2003 of cancer and why we didn't think to play Perry Como, Dean Martin, and the Mills Brothers singing Paper Doll. And you just got me, Christine.
I
mean, this is all about heart, timing, helping our loved ones transition over. And I'm wondering if in the case of those that might have Alzheimer's or dementia, Have you seen how they've reacted to music where they haven't reacted to anything else?
Incredibly, very much so. And we do a lot of concerts for individuals with dementia or Alzheimer's, because it's obviously Alzheimer's is a terminal illness. And so it happens a lot where someone has just been really nonverbal and not present. And then the musicians start playing and they wake up, and the family members like, oh my God, I haven't, you know, they say one word and the family is just blown away and starts crying because they said a word. It's, you know, it's a small thing, but to see them react, to see their hands start to move or their feet, or they try and clap or they say something, it's very much that way. It really triggers something. And a lot of times they start singing along, and they haven't been verbal, and suddenly they're singing. So absolutely, I think, you know, the music and dementia is, there's a lot of that. And luckily there's a lot of programs of music for patients with dementia. And Swan Songs, it's kind of it definitely overlaps because most of them are dying. I saw it in my own mother-in-law. She had Alzheimer's, and my husband's an incredibly gifted musician, and his parents weren't necessarily musical. So it was sort of like, where did this come from? And his mom had Alzheimer's, and we moved her here to a facility in Buda, and some musicians came in, and all of a sudden she lifted up her head and started singing every word and had a great voice. She had this incredible pitch and full voice. And we were like, what? Darlene? That's where the music came from? Like, and we didn't even know it. Chris didn't even know that when, you know, when he was a kid, she supported his music, but she didn't really mention that she could really sing. So we saw it in our own life. And actually a couple of weeks ago, I went to sing for a friend of mine that has Alzheimer's and is really in her 60s and is going really fast. And she was already just not present. And I started singing and did. She was a radio DJ and Texas music, so she knows her Texas music. I started singing a Townes Van Zandt song. And mm-hmm. She just kind of, her eyes opened, and she still didn't say anything, but her eyes were like saucers, just looking right at me like, I'm in here and I hear you. It was, so I just experienced it not too long ago.
It's a joy to talk to you. Your company is swansongs.org. Mm-hmm. I want our listeners to contribute to it. I wish they could all come to this benefit that's coming up, but guess what? It's sold out for all the right reasons, because this is a mission, folks, that's got long fingers and long legs, and it's going to be around forever. This may be the seed that you plant that you will never see all the harvest from.
I hope so. I hope so, because, you know, I want it to endure. I so believe in this, the importance of it in so many ways for our culture, and also I think it has another purpose in that kind of brings conversations like this about death out of the shadows, because we tend to be, it's over there and we're uncomfortable and we don't want to acknowledge it, or how do we talk about it and how do we experience it? And, you know, we embrace birth and ritualize it and plan for it and make it special and know that it's going to be hard, but get support for it. And we need to do the same thing with death. And I think, and, you know, introducing music to that goes a long way towards bringing it out of the shadows and adding some comfort. And I believe in it so much, and have been asked so many times by other people calling me or writing to me. I live in Kansas City, wherever. How could we bring this, something like Swan Songs, to our community? So we are very actively building a model for other communities to start their own Swan Songs. And we're at the Serenade, we're going to announce our first community affiliate. So we've done a lot of the back end homework, and now we're going to bring on one community as a beta test to test all the things that we've been in theory building that we think will be supportive. We know we'll be supportive, but we know we'll have to constantly refine it. But I would love for that to be a seed that I plant that I never really get to see the harvest, but I'm fine with that because I really want to make sure the tree is planted.
You got it.
That people have the, I hated saying, I know I would love it, but I don't know. I don't have the answer yet. And I started to feel a little bit like I was shirking my responsibility. Like, well, then get the answer, figure it out. And so our board, bless their hearts, I said, we really need to figure it out. Even if the answer is no, let's start exploring what this would look like. What are the options for how it would be structured? You know, and we got some wonderful support from Tito's Handmade Vodka, because they love the community building aspect of this. So they gave us a $50,000 gift to help underwrite the expense of building all this and the legal work and all, you know, everything that's involved, the technology we have to expand so that we could work on it without dipping into money that was donated and intended to be for local programming for Austin, because we're kind of managing both. So we didn't, if somebody gave wanting to support a concert in Austin, we wanted to hold the integrity around that donation. And Tito's gift enables me to get really good legal advice on all of the agreements and work with them and hire someone to help with the changing the technology and the website and not, you know, not feel like I'm robbing from something else. So got appreciate it.
Okay. I want you to hang on after we wrap up this show, but I want to tell you one thing and ask you one final question. Yesterday's band practice, we were practicing a couple of old Beatles songs, and now I'm going to call my band and tell them to come sing P.S. I Love You before I pass away.
Oh, so yeah.
That's where you've taken Ricky's heart today. Yes. What song would you want to have sung there at your concert should some of your old colleagues come to sing to you?
Eliza Gilkison is a wonderful songwriter. Folk songwriter, and she's my oldest friend. I've known her since I was 15 years old. Even if I didn't know her, her music is just beautiful and speaks to me. But that's who I would want for my swan songs is Eliza, probably singing a song called When We Cross Over. Because it's just very comforting to me. Or any of her songs, but she's got a lot of them that I would want to be hearing at that time. And then also my husband, Chris. I mean, I have so many friends whose voices are a part of me that I could have a long, Chris, go get all these people to come over to the house.
Line them up. That is so great. Christine, Albert, thank you so much for joining us. Folks, if you want to find out about Swan Songs and contribute today, go to swansongs.org. And it sounds like to me that they may be making it to your part of the country. And we've got a lot of people that listen to us in Nashville, and we've done shows with all these songwriters there and singers. And it's like, I can't wait to send this one to.
I already have a person that actually a very qualified, very deep into the Nashville music industry person that's interested. And she said, when you get this model ready, you bring it to me because we need this in Nashville.
You got it. And so many other places. Christine, thank you for joining us. And folks, as we always say, we wish you a successful life on your way to significance, just like swansongs.org. Have a good week.
Thank you so much. Thank you.
To all my brand and marketing leaders out there, I want to let you in on a little something. Audio advertising is one of the most efficient
ways to speak to your consumer. I mean, you hear me now, right? The best way to take advantage of audio is to find the right audio agency who can help you navigate all the ins and outs of digital broadcast and podcast advertising. And I found the perfect partner for you, and that's Play Audio Agency. Say it with me, Play Audio Agency. Play offers services that cover advertising and communication, audio branding, podcasting, original brand music, and more. Let them deliver an audio strategy that drives a deeper emotional connection to your consumer while you sit back and do the things that you love, like listening to my podcast. Hey, find them at playaudioagency.com to harness the power of sound for your brand. That's Play, P-L-A-Y, audioagency.com to learn more.
Space, the great cosmic expanse where man meets galaxy. And until now, the only way to see it was decades of intense astronaut training. But now, it's your chance to explore the edge of space with a lucky scratch. The Texas Lottery is giving you the chance to explore the stratosphere. Play $1 million cash blast scratch tickets and enter for a chance to win a luxury trip to the edge of space. Must be 18 or older. Play responsibly.